welcome to the Godly Woman Podcast. This podcast is aimed at equipping and encouraging women on a journey with God. I'm your host, Monique Lake Phillip, and it's so good to be with you all today. Thank you so much for joining me on yet another episode. If you are new here, hey, girlie, you're in the right place. We have a great time over here. And if you are a returning listener, like you are the real MVP, thank you so much for all the support. Guys, we have officially finished our Bible study. It was truly awesome. At the time of this recording, I would have done the Bible study Saturday. Today is actually Monday, yes, and I would have done it Saturday. And it was honestly awesome. Thank you guys for all the support. I know it was a blessing to you all. It was definitely a blessing to me. So I just really wanted to start off today's episode with just giving some feedback, just telling you guys about the Bible study. If you all want, you can check it out. It's still available. Well, the recording is there in the Godly Woman Community Facebook group. So y'all can check that out. We did our Bible study called The Unknown. We spoke about the life of Job a little. And we just spoke about some girly stuff, right? So if that's something you're interested in, y'all can check that out. So, guys, I am very excited about today's episode. We're talking about risking it all. We're doing a little Bible study. Just fresh off of our unknown Bible study, and I felt like, you know what? Why not do another Bible study, but this time on the podcast for you guys who would have missed it? So, yeah, we're doing a little chit-chat sort of Bible study session, a little, guys, like, I'm just so cozied up right now. Like, y'all should, like, honestly, I wish if y'all can see me right now. And that's why I really want to have like a visual for the podcast. That's something I definitely would be working on in the future, where we can have like a YouTube channel. And yeah, y'all know how podcasts are on YouTube, right? Where you see the person and it's all visual. But for now, y'all just gonna hear my voice. But yeah, it's a very cold weather in Trinidad and Tobago right now. It was raining very heavily earlier on, but the rain has subsided. It's no longer raining, but it's very cold. And I'm just on my couch, blanket, all wrapped, and my little cozy slippers on. And yeah, it's a whole vibe. But anyway, we're talking about risking it all. We're doing a little Bible study on Esther. Esther was actually an orphaned Jewish girl, right? And she was living in Persia at the time. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole book of Esther, right? I'm just going to kind of like paraphrase and summarize. But basically, yeah, Esther, she was a young girl. She was Jewish. She was living in Persia at the time, right? A pagan nation. And there was a lot of conflict between Persia and the Jewish people, right? So there was a decree going out to basically destroy the Jewish people. There was just conflict because the Jewish people, they were so, like immigrants, you could say. Immigrants living in Persia. And obviously, the Persians didn't really want that because they had different languages, different gods that they served. There were just a lot of differences. So the Persians kind of wanted to get rid of them, kind of push them out, right? But Esther, a young Jewish girl, her uncle, Mordecai, he actually was, you know, telling Esther, listen, we need to do something about, we need to save our people, right? You are in this high position. At that time, Esther, she concealed her identity to the king, right? She didn't tell the king she was Jewish or anything like that. No one knew that she was Jewish except her uncle, Mordecai. And it's crazy because she was the least likely candidate to save the Jewish people. She was young. She was a woman. She was a Jew, right? And in that time, the reason why I said a woman, and some of you probably cringe when you hear a woman, like, you know, woman had power, like, hey. But no, during that time, like, women really didn't have that much power, right? Women were basically under the dominion of their husbands, and they couldn't really speak. Like, even Esther, she couldn't just go before the king just like that. She was basically risking her life by, you know, deciding to save her Jewish people. But anyway, I'm kind of going ahead of myself. Let's actually turn to it, right? So just a backstory quickly. So Vashti was queen before, but because she didn't, you know, the king held this big feast and she didn't want to appear before the king, he found it disrespectful. So he called all the wise men and then they advised him basically get rid of her. So they got rid of her and they actually decided that they're going to have this kind of like a queen show, basically, where they have all these young virgins prepare themselves to go before the king, and then the king would choose who he want to be wife, and he chose Esther, right? So a little quick kind of backstory there. So he chose Esther, and now I want to read from Esther chapter 4 verse 16, right? So I actually want to read Esther chapter 3 from verse 8. And it says, and Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. Right? He's speaking about the Jews. And their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it unto the king's treasures. Right? So the king, that decree went out. The king agreed. He took his ring, signed it. The letter went out. So they're going to destroy all the Jews. They have a set date. So Mordecai, being Esther's cousin, Esther's uncle, when he heard of this news, he rent his clothes, right? He had sackcloth and ashes on and cried with a loud, bitter cry in the city. So then he began to write letters to Esther, and they began to write right between each other. And let's go to chapter 4 and let's read verse 8. And he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shashun to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication, right? So he's basically saying, giving that letter to Esther so that she will be able to go before the king and basically save the Jews, right? Petition on their behalf, because she is the closest one to the king. She's literally Queen Esther. And to make a request before him for her people. And Hatch came unto and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spoke unto Hatash, and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. And the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to which the king shall hold out a golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. So Esther is saying, listen, there is this decree, there is this law, everyone knows it, right? That you cannot go before the king unless you are called. You could literally be killed if you do that. And the king hasn't called me, right, in 30 days. And I could die unless he put out his scepter, then he could like save me from dying. But basically, yeah, if I go before the king without him calling me, I could literally die. So that was the reality that Esther had to comprehend. So here we have this young, beautiful girl, Esther, right? She is a Jew. Her husband, the king, doesn't know that she's a Jew. And she is basically the only person right now who can save the Jews. Now think about this. Esther is going to be risking her life to save the Jewish people, right? Does she have to do that? No, not really. Like, she has a choice, right? God gave all of us free will. She doesn't have to do that. Let's see what she says. Let's see if she's going to do it, right? Let's read verse 12. We're in Esther chapter 4, verse 12. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words, right? So they told that Mordecai exactly what Esther said. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. So Mordecai is saying, listen, you're not safe, you know. Like, don't even think that you're safe because you are in the king's house. Like, you are very much at risk, just like all of us. Because if the king only find out, well, I'm just saying, right? He's probably like thinking that, you know, if the king find out that you are a Jew, you would most likely die as well. So listen, it's now or never, right? Esther, what are you going to do? Verse 14, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? So he's like, listen, who even know? Maybe this is your purpose, Esther. Maybe this is the reason why you even came to this kingdom and became queen, because of such a time like this. And it's crazy because, like, how many of us, we find ourselves in strange places, strange environments, in situations, circumstances that is just beyond us. We don't have the answers. We don't know why we're in this season. We don't know what is going on, but it's things are happening around us. And it's like, listen, you are called, you are chosen for such a time like this. Like, don't even get it twisted. Don't even think that the God that you serve is a God of accident and chance. Like, the God that we serve is an intentional God. Like, everything he does is very much orchestrated, is very much in alignment with his will, with his purpose, and with his plans for us. So, you know, I just felt so led to do this Bible study, because I know there are some of you that are in strange places, in strange circumstances. It seems as if, like, you have no control over what is going on, right? Esther had no control over being a Jew. She had no control over even being before the king. She was a young girl, so I'm sure they brought her before the king. I'm sure she didn't even have a say whether she wanted to be the queen or not. Like, all these things are just happening, and it seems as if it is happening to her, but it's actually happening for her, because it's a huge part of her purpose, right? To save her people. And now we can read about it, and now we can see what a great and awesome young lady she was. So let's continue. Verse 15. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So here Esther, she came to the conclusion that, listen, this is a matter that the Spirit, right? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the one that could really help us. God is the one that could really help us, right? The fact that she would tell them, listen, tell all the Jews, fast and pray, and I'm going to fast as well, and my maids are going to fast as well. So those that are closest to her, she's telling them to fast, because she realized that this job is a job for God. This job is a job beyond her. This job is a job beyond the physical realm. This is where the spiritual realm has to intervene. This is where angels and the Holy Spirit has to intervene, because she realized this is spiritual warfare. She realized this is not something that is only going to be, this battle that we're facing is not only going to be won through physical means, but we need the spiritual means as well. And I want to encourage you guys, some of you, you are in situations, you're in battles, and you're constantly fighting physically. You're constantly fighting using your words. You're fighting using, probably you're even physically fighting and all, right? You're doing all you possibly can physically. But have you contacted your heavenly Father? Have you contacted your spiritual, supernatural Father? Like, we need to remember that this war that we are in, this battle that we are in, is not between flesh and blood. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces in dark places, right? Against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the world, against wickedness in high places. That is who we fight against. And this really brings me to the point of what do you call immigrants, right? Because the Jews, they were immigrants. They were living in this place that didn't really belong to them, right? They were strangers, basically foreigners. And I think about in Trinidad and Tobago, we have a lot of Venezuelan immigrants in Trinidad. And it's crazy to see the sort of, how to put it, homophobia. There are a lot of, like, people, I can't even find the words, but not just in Trinidad, but honestly, all around the world, people tend to shun immigrants. People tend to, like, look down at them and scorn them, or like mock them, because they somewhat have this scarcity mindset that these immigrants, they're going to take from us, they're going to take our jobs, they're going to take our they just look at it as if, like, these people are coming to rob us. They're not coming to add or benefit us in any way. And that is just the mindset of immigrants all over the world, right? You look at the US, they have a huge immigration problem there. You look at France, you look at the UK, right? And there are so much racism, there's so much bias, there's so much prejudice against immigrants. And God really spoke to me concerning this, and I wanted to do an entire episode, but it's so fitting to fit this in here. We never know where we are going to end up in life, right? We don't know if we would become immigrants someday. So it's always really good to love your neighbor as yourself. It's always really good to show people kindness. It's always really good to pray for people, to help people where you can. So if you're listening to me and you have this prejudice against Venezuelans in Trinidad or against wherever you are, Mexicans living in the US or whoever, right? I want you to know that those are children of God. God loves them. God cares for them. God is their father. So stop having this hate in your heart towards people that don't look like you, that have a different language from you, that might be different in the way that they dress or whatever. Like, pray for people. Stop gossiping about people. Stop being hateful about people and genuinely love people. Genuinely pray for people. And I'm speaking to you guys, but honestly, I'm speaking to myself as well, because I am definitely far from perfect, right? Sometimes negative thoughts would come to my mind, but then I'm like, listen, that is not of God. God called us to love. God called us to be generous. God called us to be our brother's keeper, right? So I just really wanted to share that. But here we have Esther. She's saying, listen, this battle that we are facing, it is a spiritual battle. This battle is only going to be won through God helping us. If I perish, I perish. So Esther literally came to the conclusion, I'm going to help save my people. I'm going to go before the king. I'm going to petition for my people. And if I die, I die. Like, at least I die fulfilling purpose. At least I die doing what I believe I was called to do. And she was willing to risk it all. What are you willing to risk in your life right now? Sometimes God is calling us to dangerous territories, quote unquote dangerous, right? But I'm reminded of Psalm 91 when it says, and I really want to turn to that in a while, right? But even in the shadow, in the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil because God is with us. So those of you who God has called to dangerous territories, places where you feel like your life is literally at risk, and you're listening to me, and maybe you're in a country where they're experiencing war right now, right? I know Russia and Ukraine, they're still in battle. You're in a country where you are suffering persecution as a Christian. Maybe you're listening to me and you're from Japan or from Korea or any country suffering some persecution as a Christian, as a believer. I want you to know that this battle is spiritual. The battle that you're facing, you're literally up against demons. You're literally up against dark forces. And stop trying to fight physically. You cannot fight a spiritual war physically and expect to win. You are going to lose every time. You need God. You need the Holy Spirit on your side. And that's why praying and fasting is so important as a believer, right? That is like such a powerful weapon that we have that we tend to not use, but we should use it. I want to call you guys to a time of prayer, to a time of fasting, and I'm calling myself, right? Even if it's half day, just not eat, but just spend that time in prayer, spend that time in worship. I'm calling you guys to pray. I'm calling you guys to fasting right now in whatever situation. You find yourself in a dangerous situation. You find yourself in a situation where you feel as if your back is against the wall, right? Because that's where Esther is. It's like her back is against the wall. Because if she do nothing, her people is going to perish and she may even perish. And if she do something, she could possibly die. How many of you find yourself in a situation like that? Think about Moses and the children of Israel. The sea is before them. And at the back of them, the enemy is coming chasing after them with full force. Where do we turn, God? Where do we go, Lord? at the front. Like, if we go forward, we are going to die by drowning. And if we just stay here and do nothing, our enemy is going to pursue us. Our enemy is going to kill us. Where can we go, God? What can we do? But in the midst of all of that, God is with us. God is the God of the impossible. He loves to be in situations of impossibility, right? Because he can show himself as God. He can show himself as God. Like, how would he be God if he just showed up in situations that are just easy to solve, right? Then he wouldn't really be God, because the fact that he is God means that what is impossible for us is possible for God, right? Because he doesn't function like his ways are higher than always. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, right? So he thrives in the impossibility. He flourishes in what we see as impossible. Let's read Psalm 91, and I love, love, love this psalm. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Listen, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against his stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample on thy feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him, I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him thy salvation." Such a very, very powerful psalm. Even in the darkness, even in the valley of the shadow of death, we are not going to be afraid. We're not going to fear anything, because God, he is with us. He is with us. And I love the scripture, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, 9, 16 to 18, right? It says, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." Like, listen, this is such a powerful scripture. It's actually 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 to 10. Such a powerful scripture. Even though you're pressed on every side, you're not crushed. So even when the battle intensifies, even when you feel like you're being persecuted, you're being targeted by the enemy, you're going through so much, right? The situations are just so, it's meant to kill you. It's meant to take you out. That's how you feel, right? You're pressed. Pressed meaning, like, you all know how they make olive oil. They actually press the olive oil. They actually press the olives. They press it, they press it, they press it. And then they get the oil. And I feel like that is what, you know, that's the image I get from this scripture. Because the last verse, it says, "Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." So it's crazy, because, like, it kind of causes us to shift how we think and what we see as bad and evil and negative and meant to hurt us and is happening to us. And, like, it's almost like we need to shift our mindset from, like, a victim mentality to a mindset of, listen, I am a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror in Jesus' name. I am victorious. I am an overcomer. And we need to start actually speaking who we are according to who God says we are. And that's according to what the situation around us look like and tell us we are. Because the crazy thing about it is, like, when you're going through a challenging situation, it's almost like that situation has a language. It's like you're going through a situation where you feel like Maybe you're searching for a job and you're not getting through with anything right now. And the situation itself has a language of defeat, right? And the situation itself has a language of, you're not good enough. You're a failure. You never amount up to anything. Like, that is the language of death spoken over your situation by the devil. But it's almost like you need to actually shift and kind of like shift that language, kind of like tap into the spirit and actually reverse exactly what the devil is saying with the word of God. Guys, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Like, the word of God is so powerful. When we use the word of God and we see exactly who God says we are according to the word of God and we speak it in our situation, all those negative language that the enemy is speaking to us, we can literally shift that around and say, listen, God says he'll never leave me nor forsake me, right? All things are working for my good according to his purposes, right? Like, when we use the word of God, it literally brings forth life and light in the darkness. So that's something I also want to encourage you guys, right? This scripture, like, I feel like I need to plaster this all over my house because it's a powerful scripture. Like, I know so many of you guys are going through, like, challenging situations. I feel as if life is getting harder and harder. It looks like that. But then again, we need to shift our language. Because it looks like that, it means that, listen, God is getting ready to do something awesome. It looks like life is getting harder and harder every day, right? Things are getting more expensive. Jobs are more difficult to get. People are just so cold-hearted. People are so distant because they're always on social media, always on the phone, right? You tend to not even get that neighborly love anymore. People are just so cold-hearted and just mean-spirited, and the time is just getting worse and worse. So it seems as if life is just getting more unbearable. Life is just getting harder and harder every day. That is how it looks in the spiritual realm. Well, in the physical realm. But we need to actually tap into the spiritual realm through the Holy Spirit and start speaking what God says about us, what God says concerning the promises for the children of God. So yes, in the world, the word of God says, yes, evil is going to wax worse and worse. But guess what? That is not a promise for us. That is not the end for us. That is not like life eternally for us. What are the promises of God towards us? What did God say about us? And when we actually tap into that, when we actually look into the word of God and see what the promises are for Christians, what the promises are for children of God, like, that is when our mindset starts shifting. So in your situation, stop seeing that it's things happening to you and start seeing it's happening for you. Imagine if Esther had this victim mentality, like, woe me, I'm gonna die, woe me. Like, she would have never had the mindset to say, listen, pray, let's call her fast and let's pray. And if I perish, I perish. But I'm going down with a fight and it's going to be a spiritual fight, right? And that's the mentality that we have to have. And just to summarize, right, Esther, she was victorious. The king sent out his scepter and they were able to pull back the law and she was able to save her people. Something else I wanted to say is that some of us, we're so selfish. We think only about ourselves, right? Innately, as humans, we're selfish. We think about our families alone. We think about ourselves alone. A lot of the times, we tend to not even have space in our minds about other people. Imagine if Esther was selfish. She was a queen living in a palace, right? She had everything to, she had everything to lose. She was in a position where she had everything to lose. She had her kingdom to lose because she was a queen. She had her very life that she could have lost. But she was willing to risk it all. What are you willing to risk? Right? Some of you, God is telling you, speak to your boss about something, speak to your manager, but you're so scared that you're going to lose your job. But you don't know that you're going to be promoted. You don't know that you're going to cause change to happen, not just in the workplace, but in your country as a whole. Like, some of you, God is saying to speak up, but you're so afraid of the consequences. You're too comfortable where you are that you're not willing to be uncomfortable. Right? We want comfort too much. We want to be in comfort too much when God is pushing us out of our comfort zone, right? So guys, I hope this episode was a blessing to you all. I pray that, yes, you're going through whatever you're going through, but that you would know you're an overcomer, that you are very much equipped with God and the Holy Spirit to deal with the situation. But please stop fighting physically and start fighting spiritually, meaning reading your Bible, praying, fasting, calling some friends to pray with you. And as you think, community is so important. Look at what Esther did. She asked other people for help, right? Two are better than one. And that is spiritually as well as physically. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it tells us, not chapter 3, but in Ecclesiastes, I can't remember. Let's see what scripture that is. So that's Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 12. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil, right? So call your friends. Call your friends to pray with you about whatever situation you may be going on. So yeah, I love this 2 Corinthians 4:8-10. Yes, you are pressed on each side, but guess what? You are not crushed. And I think about Job. Yes, Job was pressed on every side, but the devil could not take his life. He was not destroyed. So the enemy is attacking you. The enemy is doing all these things, but guess what? It is for your good. It says, inwardly we being renewed day by day, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned. Even in your persecution, God is with us in the midst of it. He is the God who sees. And I could go on and on and on, right? Struck down but not destroyed. Guys, listen. I was going through a situation, a crazy challenging situation. And all sorts of thoughts, negative thoughts was going through my mind. And this script, like, God is so good. This scripture that I haven't thought about in literally years, like, I'm not even kidding you. I have never thought about this very scripture here in literally years. And God brought this scripture to my mind. God brought this scripture to my mind. And I know it is for somebody there. We are hard pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. The devil will not kill us. The devil cannot kill us, right? Perplexed, but not in despair. We have a hope in our Father. Persecuted, but we are not abandoned. Our God is with us. Angels are fighting on our behalf. We might be struck down, you know, but guess what? We are not destroyed. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly, we are wasting away. Listen, it may seem like we're losing everything outwardly, right? It may seem like, gosh, boy, like what else could be destroyed? What else could be touched? What else could be, like, you know? But yet, inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. Like, this is my scripture for the rest of this year. And I'm sharing it with you. And I hope it's going to be a blessing to you guys. Guys, that's it from me for this episode. This little Bible study, this little impromptu Bible study. I hope it was a blessing for you guys. If you are interested in more Bible studies from me, I have one right now in the Godly Woman Community Facebook group. We did The Unknown, where we spoke on the life of Job. And it was just such a cool conversation, but yet Bible study to have. Like, it was just awesome. So y'all can check that out. It's right now, it's in the Godly Woman Community Facebook group. I love doing Bible studies with you all, and I want to do some more of these. So, I hope that you stick around to hear more from me, and I would love to hear from you. If you're interested in sending me a message, you can do so by going on the Godly Woman Community Instagram or Facebook group, and yeah, just shoot me a message there. All right, guys, I love you guys so much. Stay strong. Listen, inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. Take care, guys. Love you. Bye.